Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Prior to her complete deliverance and transformation from over 29 years of lesbian life, the Reverend Charlene Cothran was a publisher of an internationally distributed gay and lesbian lifestyles magazine, Venus. By her new life and work, Reverend Cothran offers evidence that God is still changing lives. My friend, are you in need of change? Is there something welling up inside you that yearns for change? You know the direction that you've taken, the choices that you've made are leading you in a path of despair, hopelessness, or maybe a feeling of just things falling out of control. Today, our guest is here to share about the life-changing power of God. And we pause at the beginning of our program to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, for you to know that there is always hope in Jesus. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how far away you may feel from God, there's always hope in Christ. In Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. Dear one, today, the living Christ calls you to himself. Do you hear his voice? Do you sense his prompting? Would you open your heart to Jesus? That's our hope, and that's our prayer. Reverend Charlene E. Cothran is president of the Evidence Ministry Incorporated. She's a pro-family activist, counselor, consultant. She serves as associate pastor and teacher at Daytona Deliverance Church of God under the leadership of Bishop William A. Lee. Reverend Cothran, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, and it is such a wonderful privilege and wonderful pleasure to be with you.
What happened in Chicago at a gay pride event that is pivotal in your life?
Wow, that afternoon changed the, it just shifted the earth under my feet. I was really at the top of my game as a gay publisher, a lesbian publisher. I had a magazine that was literally on cruise control. We got consistent advertising from Fortune 500 companies who were interested in getting their branding in front of gay and lesbian households. And my publication, of course, targeted African-American gays and lesbians across the country. And so we were 13 years into branding this magazine. We made good money every quarter. And so at this particular event, it was Black Gay Pride Chicago. Our magazine was a major sponsor. I was scheduled to speak at several events there again. And so I was on top of my game. We were giving away thousands of copies of magazines that day. And young people were coming up to me and saying, oh, Ms. Cothran, I want to be just like you. But that was the day that the Lord chose to really open my eyes. My blinders just fell off my eyes. And what should have been, on any other time, would have been a very proud day for me, I felt a shame fall over me. And the Lord opened my eyes, and I took in a panoramic view. I turned all the way around and just looked across the field, and I saw just endless view of men with men, frolicking and dancing, some, you know, scantily clothed, you know the scene. Women with women. Some of them had children with them. Transgendered, just doing, you know, people kissing, just, you know, all kinds of things happening in this field in the name of a prideful lifestyle. And I was so ashamed in that moment that this is what my life's work was upholding. And I became ashamed in that moment, but I did not know in that moment that I could be different than what I was at that moment. Mm. So I had a reckoning that day, just an eye-opening experience saying that this is wrong. It's wrong on every level, but this is who you are. How do I get out of this is what I felt. And I was ashamed to admit that to any of my gay friends because I was the one saying you should be proud of who you are. Mm. But down on the inside, I was like, this is terribly wrong.
Where did you grow up?
Danny, I grew up in a small community in New Jersey near Trenton. In that area, I grew up in a Christ-centered home. My great-grandmother, grandmother, my parents made sure that I was in church each Sunday, Sunday school, Easter speeches, that kind of thing. So I was not an unchurched child, but I did leave. When I left the covering and safety of my own home and upbringing, I left and went to left New Jersey at 17 years old and went away to college in Atlanta. And I will admit that I had an experience with a young girl when I was a teenager, and that always stayed in my mind. And so I always thought that we were the only two people who had ever tried anything like that. I had no clue that there was an entire gay world, and of course that was opened up to me when I saw that in Atlanta, Georgia. I went to my first gay club in Atlanta. You know, I was so, you know, I just snuck in like, oh my gosh, I don't want anybody to see me here, but I was so intrigued by it. And it didn't take long before, you know, standing in the dark went from to standing in the light to shouting in the light, dancing in the light, organizing hundreds of women, softball teams, baseball teams, magazines, and so forth. And so the devil always fools you into thinking, oh, just take a small little step. You won't, you know, you're not going to get hooked on this. You're just out for tonight. And that night turns into a year, and that year turns into your life. I bought the lie over and over again and got hooked into that lifestyle.
Now, you were so passionate about persuading others to become a part of a gay agenda, correct?
Absolutely. I thought at that time that it was ridiculous for anyone to be in the closet. I thought that was not very much personal integrity. Why would you lead two lives? And many people did, and many people today do the same thing. There are more gay and lesbian folk who are actively gay and lesbian who are heterosexually married, but have partners who have same-sex partners, but of course they wanted to appear to their families and to, you know, their work environment. Maybe more so before gay marriage laws and having it passed in the United States, people would have a cover. They'd be married and have children, yet both of them would be dating someone of the same sex. There's more of that, believe it or not, there's more of that in our country anyway than there are openly gay people that you see at a gay pride event. There are many, many more folk who are living under cover, if you will, actively involved in homosexual relationships. But I never thought very much of them. I thought, you know, you're living a lie. I'm living my real life. And that is what I advocated through our publications, to come out of the closet, tell your parents who you are, admit that you're gay, you know, live your life with your partner out in the open. Until that day in Chicago, and the Lord said, "This is, you're on your way to destruction, and you look at all the people behind you who are following you." And I knew I had to get off of that road and take many souls out of there with me, and that is what I've committed my life to.
What was that journey like? The transition out.
the transitions. From that day, it took, believe it or not, I didn't get saved right away. At least another 2 years went by because I was connected to publishing this magazine. My income was coming in every quarter from this magazine. I'm like, okay, how do I change, you know, even if I stopped this lifestyle, how my income is tied into this publication. But after a while, the Lord led a woman of God, because we made so much money on the gay publication that I began to use some of the funds to publish a community newspaper in my grandmother's community for, you know, the religious community there. And I let this woman know, she had called one day a pastor to place an ad in that newspaper. And she said, Charlene, you know, where are you now in the Lord? In other words, I remember you as a young girl before you left here. Now you're back and you're somebody, you're somebody different. What is happening to you? Where are you with the Lord? And I really wanted her to share with me how to get out of the captivity that I was in. But I didn't, I figured if I began to openly discuss lesbianism with her and how do I get free, that she would certainly be intimidated by that or not want to talk about that. But that's not what happened then. This woman of God stayed on the phone with me. I was in the parking lot of a mall, and she stayed on the phone with me, and she began to just let me talk. And I, you know, my pride kicked in, and I began to say to her, you know what? You know, it's gay dollars. They're supporting you for this other newspaper. And she said, let me tell you something, Charlene. She said, I can tell that you want to be free of that life. You have the knowledge of Christ. You know how to get free, but you don't think you can stay free. You don't think that, you don't believe that God can actually deliver this thing up out of your flesh. And you think now that you always have to live like that, but that is a lie. She said, God intends to use all of your past to help others be free. And something right then and there broke like a jar falling off of a shelf. That I'm stuck in lesbianism, that broke on the floor. And I knew in that moment, I didn't know how, but I knew that I could be free. And I began to hold on to that faith. Faith began to grow in me just that quickly. And I prayed that night with the woman of God, and I made a decision that no matter what I had to face, and in the gay life back then, it's not like now everyone loves gay people. Back then, everybody, you know, you were shunned and you were talked about, you were laughed at. So I was already used to being rejected. So I wasn't, you know, there wasn't a fear of rejection. But so I said, God, no matter what I have to face, I've faced bad stuff before. At least I'm going to face whatever I have to face. I'm going to face it with you. I'm going to face it with the knowledge that I have eternal life when my life is over. I'm going to face whatever I have to face knowing that I have all the promises of God that's in the Bible are working for me. I'm going to face my hardships knowing that I'm going to see my mother again. So as you can see, faith began to grow on the Lord's side. And I made a decision, and that's what we have to do. You've got to decide. You got to draw a line in the sand and say, you know what? I don't care what it takes. I am walking out of this with Jesus Christ. I'm living for him. I'm never turning back. And I'm going to see what the old folk used to sing a song in our church when I grew up that says, I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. And that's what I feel like my life is like. I'm going to run on and see what the end's going to be. And God, the word of God tells us what the end is going to be. He said, I've got thoughts and plans for you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. I didn't know that this was the end that God expected for me. I am living a wonderful life. I love my new life. I'm 11 years into my relationship with Jesus Christ. It is. I can't describe the peace that I have. Mm. That's what the whole world is looking for.
You're listening to the Reverend Charlene Cothran. Reverend Cothran was a leading activist. Today she serves the Lord Jesus Christ and is being used by God to convey a message of hope to others in a very specific way. When we come back from our break, more from Reverend Cothran. Now, we're talking about a subject. Of course, she speaks of it with such fluidity. In our culture today, it's quite open and increasingly so, and it has been growing. But I think we need to continue talking about this, discussing this, and also, in a way, drawing a line in the sand, a line of hope that one could be set free, delivered, and live a new life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
The Reverend Charlene Cothran. She's an international evangelist. She's a conference speaker and counselor. She offers expert testimony for legislators fighting for religious freedom in the U.S. and abroad. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, and our featured guest, Reverend Charlene Cothran. Thanks for joining us today. If you're tuning in right now or maybe caught the tail end of our last segment, look, you can get this program in its entirety for free. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and access this and other resources. And remember the slice of the good life that airs across the country and in England and Canada and the Philippines. Find out more at goodlifeslice.com. And for the Evidence Ministry, theevidenceministry.org. Find out more about Reverend Charlene Cothran.
Charlene, you mentioned your great-grandmother, your grandmother, your family raising you in a Christian home. How did they respond with your choice to embrace the lesbian lifestyle?
Oh, my goodness. My great-grandmother has already gone to heaven by the time it come out of the closet.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, believe it or not, I thank God, my grandmother, I take that back. She has slipped into Alzheimer's. But I'm thankful that she had no knowledge, because I'm the oldest grandchild she adored, and I know that it would have taken, she just could not have conceived it. She just couldn't deal with it. So it was less really all on my mother to process. And this is why I have such a passionate ministry to parents, because my mother blamed herself.
Mm-hmm.
What did I do wrong? I must have done something wrong. You know what I'm saying? I tried to raise her right. Perhaps it was this. Perhaps it was that. And parents aren't perfect. You know, I'm not saying my mother was a perfect person, but she blamed herself the whole time. And I see parents do this over and over again. They take on this burden of guilt. And my mother prayed for me over and over again throughout the years. My parents know their children as well. I will say that, because she asked me several times. I remember when I was 16, she asked me, are you involved with another girl, and I denied it. And I think she was glad I denied it because she didn't know what to do. If I had said yes, she didn't know what to do with that. There were no support groups. There were no, you know, P flags or parents of friends of lesbians. There were no, you know, there was no support for an issue like that in that day in the 70s. So I denied it, and she left it alone. But something happened when I was in a relationship in my 30s, when I was about 30 years old. My heart was truly broken by a woman. And I was so depressed and down. I'll never forget the day I called my mother up, and I thought that I was, you know, I was really calling her to be consoled. I had nowhere else to go with my broken heart. And I called my mother sobbing and crying how this woman had left me and taken advantage of me. And my mother consoled me in that moment. And the words she said to me, number one, let me know that she knew all along, and that she loved me all along. She said to me, she said, you're brokenhearted over this woman leaving you. She said, I want you to know that the only woman you've ever been completely connected to is me. And when I cut your umbilical cord when you were born, that proves that you can be separated from any woman. Do you hear me? And so she healed me in that moment, I'm telling you. There's something about what she said that healed me, but she loved me. She didn't, you know, she didn't say, I told you so and hang up the phone. She just, she was glad that I came to her, and that let me know she was still my mother. And that sort of bonded us again, if you will. And I respected her so much that she helped me in that moment through that. However, she did not see me come to Christ before she left to go to heaven. And I'll never remember, in 1997, my mother looked at me as I was visiting her home in Florida. I lived 6 hours away, and I had driven to visit her, coming home over and over again, looking more like her son than her daughter. Now I'm in my early 40s. And she looked at me and she said, my God, she said, I don't think I'm ever going to see you again. And I knew that she meant an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And that did something that pierced my heart. When I think of how my mother loves me and how hard it must have been to say to her child that I'm going to die and you're not going to make it to heaven if you don't come out of this. And I've said everything I know how to say. I've prayed all these years and you're still in it, even more so. And you publish magazines and you make your whole life is built on this. And she was, you know, she was saying, I'm about to go to heaven and you're not coming. That thing, her, you know, it stayed with me. It really did. And surely she passed away. Not more than, I don't think, not even a year later. And went on to glory. And I had to buy a plot in our family's cemetery. And I was responsible for burying my mother. And, of course, my grandmother became my responsibility. She had Alzheimer's. She died 3 years later. So here I am putting flowers on my mother's grave, flowers on my grandmother's grave. And I'm standing at this empty grave, which is still there, which is for me. And 11 years ago, as I stood there, I've got enough Sunday school still in me to know that, guess what? When you get buried in this spot, mommy's there, grandma's there, and this is where you're going to be. And I'm standing there saying, you know, what's going to happen after you're buried in this ground? That's not the beginning of the end of a thing. That's the beginning of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to spend eternity? And that could come sooner than you think. You're in your 40s. You're not 20. You know, you could die tomorrow. And I, from that moment, it was almost like another Chicago moment. God was setting up my discomfort in the gay community. Because, you know, the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. He was changing my season of having pleasure in lesbianism. It became a turmoil. It became terrible. First Chicago, and then, of course, shortly thereafter, my mom passing away. And just, you know, knowing that I cannot stay in this life. Now, I want to see my mom again. I have got to get out of this, and I didn't know how. Thank God that woman prayed with me on the phone. I made a decision to, no matter what it was going to cost me, if I was going to go out of business, if I was going to be destitute, I don't care what. All I know is I got to make it to heaven. But God gave me so much more than heaven. He gave me earth. Come on, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Just love the Lord here on earth. And then, of course, well, you know, eternity begins while we're alive here on earth. I learned so much about him and about the kingdom of God and how he has already provided everything we need, you know. Had I known all these things, I just wish that I had fallen in love with Jesus Christ so much long ago.
Thank you.
What is the allure in a homosexual relationship? What is the pleasure that you speak about that is so powerful?
Yes, I would say back then the attention that another person is giving you, the enemy, first of all, has some kind of, you know, the allure is flesh. You know, our flesh is full of all, is full of no good thing. We know that. But then beyond that, there are children who need attention. And if another person, whether it be a boy, whether it be another girl, is giving you that kind of attention, this is why I teach parents. You can compete with that. Let me tell you what your daughter now, you're upset because your daughter is 17 and now on the basketball team, some girl is giving her all of this attention and now your daughter is acting like she might want to become bisexual and you're upset about that. I said, let me tell you what she's hearing from this other girl. Oh, my God, you're so wonderful. You know, oh, I feel so good when I'm around you. I want to hear, you know, all I want to do is talk to you all night long. You're so smart. I want to be like you. You're the smartest. You're just lavishing her with the attention, but that apparently she's not getting from you. Mom or dad, we think we're giving our kids great attention because we're buying them things or giving them things or allowing them to go here or there. How much quality time or one-on-one does your daughter really believe that you think the world of them as a person? You can compete with the kind of attention that is drawing them into this lifestyle. You know, have you ever said to your daughter, you're the best thing I've ever, you're the best person I've ever met. I really think you are. I mean, and really meant it. You know, have you gotten to know her as a person? These kinds of things could change the attention away from that person and say, you know what, my mom is actually my best friend. You know, get to know your children on another level. Don't let television, movies, culture babysit your child and you're just glad that they're home in the house, because they could be in the house developing a lesbian, you know, attitude or lifestyle. You're just glad that they're home. My child is in the home. My child is out by the pool. Yeah, she's out there by the pool with the kids from the school who are all gay. You've got to do more. You've got to get to know your child and be interested. And also, you've got to own your own home, parent. Guess what? Your child's bedroom is not really their bedroom. That's your room. You have a right to go into your child's life and inspect what's happening and address it. This is what the enemy wants to make parents feel, as if they have no rights. They want the children to feel, you know, they want the kids to feel like they're friends and not just parents. We have to parent our children. We have to sometimes go into their space. We have to question what it is they're learning. We have to question what it is they're believing. You follow me? Speak. You're their parent. You're their first preacher. You're their first Sunday school teacher. You're their first professor. Don't be afraid to ask them questions. Why do you think this is a lifestyle? What is this girl doing talking to you? Ask. Bring it up. Confess, you know, confront them about things that you know are not healthy for their spiritual development, their emotional development, for their relational development. Question them about it. Call them on the carpet about it. You know, talk to them. You know, you don't have to be negative, but, you know, just start an open conversation where they can turn to you and begin to express. Because if the enemy only allows them to talk to that girl or those group of people about those kinds of feelings they're having, then that side is going to win each time. Mm-hmm. But if there's an open communication with you to talk about these things, then you can begin to, with the help of some books or with the help of, you know, learning some techniques, you can begin to knock down some of those things that are entering their belief system.
Reverend Charlene, when we come back, I'd like for you if you will, to talk about this issue of fear from a parental standpoint, and that is the fear that lays within the heart of a parent of hesitating on that kind of confrontation because of the fear of losing the child. When we come back, let's talk about that and your perspective and the clarity in which you convey your message, I think could be very helpful. And there's certainly a practical dynamic to it. When we come back, more from Reverend Charlene Cothran. As you can tell when she speaks, she's not speaking from someone outside a gay and lesbian universe, as it were. She knows what it's like to be in it, to be immersed in it, to be a part of it, to be a proponent of it, to convey persuasively the reasons why one should choose to live that lifestyle in an exemplary way, if I could say it in that regard. But Christ has come into her heart and she has changed and she is conveying a new message. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Reverend Charlene Cothran, she actively fulfills her mandate to evangelize, train, teach, and consult pro-family organizations fighting against the progression of the sexual revolution locally, nationally, and internationally. You can find out more about Reverend Cothran and her ministry, The Evidence Ministry, at theevidenceministry.org. Again, theevidenceministry.org. Reverend, what about fear? Let's say a parent says, okay, I hear what you're saying. It makes sense to me. I'd like to do it, but there's a certain level of hesitation there because I don't really want to push my child away. And by me prying into their room, and for that matter, one parent may say, you know, that's, I understand it, but I don't have that strength. I don't have that kind of personality that you exude. What would you say to a parent coming from that perspective?
I would say, parent, I understand exactly how that must feel. I think I understand. I'm not a parent, so I can't say I understand exactly. But I want to say this to you, parents. When I was in gay and lesbian activism, one of the things we were trained to do when we were bringing other people along to come and teaching them how to come out of the closet, the first thing we would tell them was how to deal with their parents was to threaten their parents that if you don't accept me, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. I'm not going to speak to you anymore. I'm not coming home for Christmas. No, that's a parent's worst nightmare. That my child that I love is not going to come home anymore. And so this is a scare tactic that gays and lesbians are still using with youth.
That is actually taught.
When I say it's taught, it's not like it's taught in the classroom, but we see it in our, I used to publish stuff like that in my magazine. This is how people learn. This is how gays learn what to do, because they read articles about it, or they'll see a gay character in a gay movie acting this out. That's teaching them. Or they'll hear it in a small group discussion. That's teaching them. And these are they resound these techniques out, saying, you know, your parents are intolerant. And we have to. They're going to have to be tolerant, or you're going to have to. It is, you know, abuse to you for them not to accept you like you are. After all, you're born this way. And I want to talk about that lie. That's another area of fear that parents have, because they don't understand how to communicate the truth, because they don't know the facts. Gays have made up this information about being born gay. There's absolutely no truth to it. And parents have to understand that this is a fact, because they love their children so much that they've begun to believe the lie manufactured by the gay and lesbian community. Let me state some facts to you, because I published during this period. Gays and lesbians began, and this was mainly rich, white, gay men wanted laws to be passed to give rights to gays, and they were being told, no way, we don't see a coalition of people here, we're not going to do that just for you. So they needed political power, and the only way for them to get that, they went to the American Psychiatric Association. They infiltrated their conventions. This is the truth. It is documented truth. I'm not just puffing here. They went to their conferences back in the late 70s, 3 years in a row, and literally turned over tables at their dinners, dumped buckets of pig blood on speakers, demanding that they remove homosexuality from their diagnostic book that talks about mental illness. Remove homosexuality as a mental illness from your book, and we'll stop tearing up your conferences every week. And if you don't do it, we're coming back next year with more people, and we're going to do worse. They intimidated this organization. And so this organization, again, after the third year, bowed to this political pressure, removed homosexuality as a mental illness from their diagnostic book. And from that, of course, gays then begin to write in their own newspapers, well, see, it's not a mental, even the American Psychiatric Association says that we're just born like this. They manufactured this lie, upon which every law that's ever been passed in favor of homosexuality has been built on that decision by the APA, removing that from there. And the APA now has a very well-respected psychiatrist, Dr. Lisa Diamond. She is a lesbian herself. From 1970 to now, she has collected data. This is what psychiatrists do. They research through their clients. They research, she has published her data that proves that homosexuals are not born this way. They're fluid. Their sexuality is fluid. In other words, changeable. And so she is on record, on video record, speaking to a group of gay activists, and she's saying to them in 2014, she's saying to a group of homosexual activists, guys, we've got to stop saying that we're born this way. It's not true, and it's going to come back and bite us in the you-know-what if we don't come up with something else. The data concludes, and she said the data is not only out there, but they know it's out there, we know it's not true, and it's going to come back and get us. But, of course, gays, this is what they're banking on, that the United States laws have been so encoded, and it has. with homosexual legislation, especially now the Supreme Court has passed gay marriage. That means every, and I'm just talking about in my own community, every hospital, every nursing home, every school, every university has had to change all of their, you follow me, encode, in other words, all of their policies to include gay married couples, all of their insurance, all of their, you know, everything. They had to change the world. The United States has changed the way they view family legally. And so they're now saying it doesn't matter whether it's true or not. We've won. We've got legislation so encoded in our favor, they can't reverse it. That is what they're banking on. But what they did not bank on was God stepping in and giving us a reprieve with a brand new President Trump and a brand new, you follow me now? They thought that they were going to continue on this legislative, you know, approval. And now things have been shaken up a bit. And so clearly it's going to take time. It took time to get where we are. But God is himself. And he can use anyone he wants to. I know I'm going in a different direction altogether, but I'm just saying that parents and people listening need to believe that we can get our families back. We can speak to these issues, and I've revealed enough facts for you to understand that no one is born gay. If you had begun to believe it yourself. There are some pastors who even have begun to believe, well, we believe that there's a propensity and there might be a gay gene. But none of that is true. You've just read too much gay stuff. There are too many gays in media who have lied. If you print something once, you don't believe it. But if you see that same lie printed twice and then printed in another media again, you even start to believe that junk yourself. And we're telling you now that God is revealing the untruth of the foundation, and we know that anything that is built on a foundation of sand is going to be washed away. I believe with everything in me that that there is a turn. God is getting ready to turn the situation around legislatively, and not only that, but in the hearts of people. Mm-hmm. All of these people who are, we have young people now who are in school, who are trying out bisexuality just because they think it's cool, like it's a new handbag, like it's a style, like it's a haircut, and who the devil is tricking into these types of relationships. And even more dangerous than that is the promotion of transsexuality among our children. Do you know that in the state of Washington, they have passed in a school district that they're going to begin to teach kindergartners that you are too young to know whether you are actually a boy or a girl.
They're doing that in Hawaii right now.
Oh, will you understand this danger? It's this danger is madness. It is absolutely pure madness. And I just thank God that he has had to step in and begin to turn so that the people of God, so that the church can stand up and be the church. There are many people like myself, Danny, who have come out of homosexuality. We know what the word says. Paul says, look, such were some of you. Gays have been delivered for thousands of years. Gays have turned away from homosexuality and come to Christ. But in this day, in this age, people need evidence that God is able to change. People, and those who have come out of homosexuality, they change their name, they get married, they start a new life, and they leave, and they won't talk about it.
When we come back, Charlene, let's spend a few moments in our last segment. There's a certain level of, I think, tenderness that we all share, because today someone's son or daughter has chosen this path. And many are praying. A dad, a mom, a grandma, a grandfather is praying. Perhaps even in a certain instance, a child is concerned about his own father or his own mother or her own mother.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's of a father or mother who was a leader in the church, a role model even, and suddenly life is turned upside down. So with a certain level of grace and tenderness as the Lord has bestowed upon you, dear Charlene, let's talk about that and what one could do and how one could pray and how one could be involved in this very critical time. More from Reverend Charlene Cothran when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
We're speaking about a very, very tender subject. Very tender. And we say it in that way because someone today that you know, perhaps you're a part of this too. And I just want to say with Reverend Charlene Cothran and Suzanne Maurer that there is a grace. There is a grace from God. There is a love from God. There is a redemption in Jesus Christ for anyone or all who will come to Jesus, even just as you are. See what Christ can do. And the reason I say it in this way, dear friend, is because perhaps today someone may be a child, like I said before the break, is seeing a mother or father. They don't even know what is all going on, but dad's lifestyle is changing. Mom's lifestyle is changing. Maybe there's a fear of a family being broken up. As much as that is a reality. A mother is grieving. A father is grieving. A grandparent is grieving. Because something completely unexpected is now being revealed to them of a lifestyle that their son or daughter or grandson or granddaughter has chosen. Or maybe already in and they just found out. Shockingly, just found out. And perhaps, Reverend Charlene, and I want you to talk about this last part is someone who's listening, who is already living a dual lifestyle, maybe they're in a heterosexual relationship, but they're living a homosexual relationship in secret.
Mm-hmm.
And they know there's a conflict within them, but they're not sure what to do or how to come to Christ, or even if they were walking with the Lord, how to come back. So I've said a lot. I just want to put this as somewhat of a frame and then just let you speak into this. And as you do, Reverend, speak to our dear listeners who may be touched by this in one way or another.
Yes, Danny. First of all, I want to speak to parents. And then second of all, I want to close out by speaking to those who may actually be in this lifestyle. Parents who are heartbroken that your child, you just found out that your child is gay. I want you to know that the Lord is still in control. I want you to remember Moses' mother, who was so afraid for her child. There was a spirit out there to kill every child under 2 years old. He was hidden in the house. And she did what? She put that child in a basket and placed that basket on a small body of water. She had to trust God while that child was out on those dangerous waters. And everything in that water was dangerous. And so I'm asking you to trust the Lord that God has your child. Put your child in the Lord's hand, and the Lord is watching, just like he did for me. My mother prayed for me. She couldn't figure out where I was. I was on the dangerous waters, but God was still in control. I was not killed. He kept me. My mother's prayers were that basket that kept me safe in those dangerous waters. Trust God. He hears your prayer. He catches every one of your tears in a bottle. He knows. Not only that, he has made certain promises. If you're living what you know to live and you're in the Word of God, he is going to keep his promise to you. That is why I'm saved today, not because of anything that I did right or so, I'm saying make decisions before the decisions I've made. I'm saved today because God kept his promise to her. My mother, God is going to keep his promise to you. He said, if your ways please him, that your family shall be saved. And here I am, even though my mother went to glory before that, she didn't see it, but the promise was still kept. Know that and be confident in that. No matter how your child is acting up, no matter how they appear, you know that in yourself. It ought to put a smile on your face. God is going to keep my promise. You are going to be, even if you don't say it to them out loud, you can almost chuckle to yourself that the enemy is not going to be able to keep his hand on you because God is going to keep his promise to me. Know that. And now I want to speak to those of you who may be in the life, experimenting with the life, or maybe you've had a long-term relationship in the life. Oh, I was all of that. I was you, and I tell you that there is a tender, loving God who has a plan for you. This is not what God intended for your life, and he loves you just like you are. He loves you just where you are. I remember feeling the love of God while I was in sin, but I also knew that I was sinning. And that's how the world has changed between then and now. Now the culture wants to say to you that living that life is not a sin. That is a trick of the devil meant to separate you permanently from God, which is hell. The culture is trying to teach you that your lifestyle is not sin. If you would simply humble yourself, that's what I had to do. I was willing to humble myself and say, oh my God, I'm a sinner. Now you're on equal territory with every other sinner there is. Liars, you follow me, homemongers, cheaters, backbiters.
had to eventually humble themselves and in a moment say, I am a sinner. If you'll simply do that, that one little thing, I am a sinner. God, if you will forgive me. And I believe in the power of your blood. You opened this program, Danny, talking about the victory at the cross. I believe, and if you're in that moment, by faith, believe that the blood shed by Jesus on the cross is able to wash away your sins. No matter what you've done, no matter how long you've done it, how long you've been in it, no matter how you changed yourself, you can't change yourself back. Jesus is able to wash away your sins if you humble yourself and admit that I'm a sinner. God, I want out of this. You change me. You change me. And that I'm telling you, the process will begin right then and there. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is for you, my brother and my sister. He said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things, all that stuff, all those men, all those women, all that junk we did, all that guilt you carry, all things are passed away. They're under the blood. And now all things are become new. Won't you start your new life? Listen, won't you start your real life right now? Start your real life right now. I'm so happy. I started my real life 11 years ago. I'm living my real life now. Won't you come out? Come on with me and live your real life.
Clear thoughts with a clear and strong yet tender, sensitive admonition calling you, dear one, calling you. Yes, from Reverend Charlene Cothran. You can find out more about her and her ministry, theevidenceministry.org. You know, my friend, God's timing is indeed perfect. You know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ, even as Reverend Charlene Cothran has, with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehoy.com. I've got a special presentation there for you. Psalm 3, 4, and 5 says, I call to the Lord and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to the Reverend Charlene Cothran, again, theevidenceministry.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll